Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Over the last several decades, archaeological discoveries across northern China have brought to light unexpected works of historical significance and extraordinary beauty. Some of these works are on display in the exhibition Unearthed, Recent Archaeological Discoveries from Northern China, which will be on view at the Clark in Williamstown, Massachusetts through October 21st. I went to the Clark last week, and Richard Rand, the Robert and Martha Berman Senior Curator and Curator of Paintings and Sculpture at the Clark Art Institute, took me on a tour of Unearthed. I started the tour by asking how Unearthed came to the Clark.
Well, this exhibition is the first major exhibition of Chinese archaeological material that the Clark has done in its history. We're very excited about it because it represents a new direction or a new idea for our exhibition program, which is to move beyond the impressionist paintings that people who come here are familiar with and to explore topics that range across world culture. Of course, we'll always have beautiful 19th century paintings at the Clark, and we'll continue to do impressionist exhibitions, but we thought this would be a great opportunity to expand our program to embrace other cultures.
How long ago did you start planning it?
Oh, probably 5 years ago, really. It began around the time of our 50th anniversary in 2005, when we began to really look into the backstory of Sterling and Francine Clark to learn more about our founders and their interests and where they came from and what they had done before establishing the Art Institute in 1955. And one of the things we have long known about Sterling Clark was that early in his career, he had spent a bit of time in China and had a real interest in Chinese culture and Chinese people. He had served in the army during the Boxer Rebellion. And in 1908-09, he had mounted a scientific expedition to northern China. He'd actually assembled a team to travel across 480 miles of what was then relatively uncharted territory to map the region, to collect flora and fauna, and to study this part of China, which had really not been known to the Western world.
And tell us about the makeup of the show. How many pieces? Where do they come from? What's the sort of spread?
Well, the exhibition here this summer at the Clark is what we would really call a Clark exhibition. That is, it's focused, it's intense, it's got fantastic objects. It's not a huge show, but at the Clark we don't always have huge shows. We like shows that have great quality and allow the visitor to engage closely with extraordinary works of art in their full cultural context. So this exhibition has 20 objects, but they are spectacular, and they're arranged in a really a provocative way. We have them set up almost as you would see them in tombs. The exhibition consists of works that were recently excavated from three major tomb sites in northwestern China that have just been unearthed within the past 20 years. In fact, one of our tombs that we focus on was excavated in 2009. And so this is new material that has not been seen outside of China before, and the quality is extraordinary.
What organizations do you have to work with to get it from China to Williamstown?
Well, working on an exhibition from China was a new thing for us and quite a challenge and very exciting. Several of us on the staff had to make trips to China, which was a great experience. I went a couple years ago, and we had developed contacts over the past 4 or 5 years because as part of the commemoration of the 100th anniversary of Sterling Clark's expedition, we had sent a group of photographs that he and his team had made on the expedition to various cities in China along the route they had taken. So we translated the book he had published through Shen Kan about the expedition into Mandarin, and then we organized a series of exhibitions of the photographs, presentations of the translated book to various locations along the route. So in that way, we began to establish relationships with various cultural heads in the provinces, museum officials. The primary people we worked with, however, was in Beijing through an organization called Art Exhibitions China, which is a kind of clearinghouse and organizer for all exhibitions of Chinese cultural material that are put on show outside of China. And so we work very closely with them. They have a great team, and they've come to Williamstown several times, and we couldn't have done it without them, needless to say.
It sounds incredibly complicated.
It kind of was, but that was part of the challenge and part of the fun, really. And we worked, since we at the Clark don't have anyone on our staff who is an expert in China, because our collections are of Western art, we needed to find an expert. And so we identified a wonderful professor of Chinese art and history at Rutgers University, a woman called Annette Giuliano, who was our guest curator. And she speaks fluent Chinese, and she had been to China many times. So she was extremely helpful, not only in conceiving the themes of the exhibition, but also of helping us interact with our partners in China.
Let's look at some of these pieces. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start in the first gallery. We have to remember an important factor. Mr. Clark's expedition in China in 1908 and 1909 was a scientific one, in that at the time he had no interest, he wasn't a collector yet, he had no interest in bringing back archaeological material, works of art, the way other Westerners did. So none of the objects in this exhibition would have been seen by Sterling Clark, and they weren't collected by him. So what we decided to do in organizing the show was to find recently discovered objects from tombs along the route that Sterling Clark had taken, but of course he never would have seen. Many of these discoveries have only been made, as I said, recently. So in one case, a university was building a new dormitory, and they began to excavate. They discovered a whole area of 80 tombs. And one of our most spectacular objects comes from that site. So the idea was to commemorate Mr. Clark's expedition by showing recent artistic treasures that he would have never known. But nevertheless, there's that nice connection.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It's great.
So it's good. So the show starts off with a little bit of information about Mr. Clark's trip and a map of China showing his route. And then we start off with a gallery that just has three objects, but three spectacular objects that bring out several of the themes of the expedition, one of which is Chinese identity, what we think of when we think of Chinese culture, Chinese national identity. It was being formed during these centuries, the objects you see here. Another important theme is religion, Buddhism being primary religion that knits together many of the objects in the show. So we have two wonderful Tang Dynasty glazed terracotta figures as you walk into the show. One is a court official, one is a military official, and they're wonderfully impressive in scale, in beautiful condition with the Sankai glazes sort of dripping over their forms in these green and brown streaks, as you can see. They have these wonderfully expressive faces, so they kind of stare at you as you walk into the gallery in a very dramatic way, an engaging way. We also have, if we walk over here to the back, a kind of alcove where we've placed a beautiful stone, sandstone stele, a kind of altar, sculpted altar, showing Sakyamuni Buddha with monks and bodhisattvas and guardians all circled around the Buddha. What's nice about this object, which we're showing in the round, is that it still retains a great deal of its original paint and gilding.
And detail. I mean, it's so topographical. There's so much to it.
It's beautifully carved, full of detail. But then, as you can see, a lot of the original gilding and paint is still visible. And if you walk around it, you can see the back of the stele, which is more flat and less carved, has a the remains, but quite visible remains, of a second painting of another Buddha surrounded by guardians and saints, bodhisattvas. So it's a kind of object one sees often, this type of object, but never in this kind of amazing condition with all the traces of paint still there.
And this is from a different time period than the first two pieces?
Yes, this is from the Northern Qi period dynasty. This is a kind of introductory space where we are introducing some of the themes that run throughout the show. The rest of the exhibition focuses on three tombs, so we can go over there now.
That would be great. It's not important, but this room is a beautiful color.
Oh, well, no, I'm glad you mentioned it. We worked very hard with our designer. We worked with a wonderful designer from New York, Perry Hu, who helped us imagine the installation as a series of spaces that are evocative of a tomb-like atmosphere. So the lighting is very dramatic. The colors are rich and saturated. So in this particular room, which is devoted to the tomb of Lo Rei, we actually know the name of the person. It's a very deep sort of foresty green, and the objects are lit with spotlights, so they really kind of come forward. So the idea was we would show objects excavated from some recent tombs along the route that Clark traveled. So it's both a kind of geographical progression across northern China, but also it's chronological in terms of the dates that the tombs were discovered and excavated. So this one was discovered in 1979, and it's a tomb that was devoted to an important local official who had a wonderful tomb of a typical type, kind of a beehive tomb with a sarcophagus. What's extraordinary about this tomb, and unfortunately we couldn't borrow, was that the tomb is covered with amazing wall paintings, which of course are still in place. So that's why you see we have some very large photographic murals of the painted walls that you see.
Those are amazing.
Yeah, they're really great. Let's look at one of the objects here. These are called Ming Qi, which are kind of the small-scale terracotta figures or animals, sometimes household implements like a wagon cart, that would be included in the tomb to ensure that the deceased's afterlife is properly cared for. So you go with your armies and your animals and all the things you need in the afterlife. So here we have, in this case, the most extraordinary ox, beautifully sculptural, solid, with these amazing horns that stick up. And it's an object in perfect condition.
I was going to say, it's crazy that the horns are not, neither of them is snapped off just from time.
I'll let you in on a secret. One of the horns was broken, and so it's been repaired, but it's been done very well. But it's a marvelously modern kind of object, beautifully shaped and very expressive. If you come around to the other side and look at his face, I think you'll agree.
Oh, yeah. That's wonderful.
The kind of centerpiece of the exhibition focuses on a Northern Wei dynasty tomb that is from the 5th century AD, BCE, I suppose we should say. This is the tomb of Sung Shao Su, and we know who he was because a tablet was found in the tomb that describes his importance to the community and his reign. And you see here we have a picture of the tablet that was discovered in the tomb with the Chinese characters that tell us who he was. So that's very interesting, because when people come to the show, we actually, even though these tombs are very old, we know a bit about the personalities that were entombed in these most amazing tomb structures. This was the tomb I was telling you was discovered when the university
was putting in new dorms.
And so the exhibition includes photographs, schematic drawings of the tomb as it was discovered. And you can see in the case of Sung Shao Su, when it was a tomb that had been robbed, you know, centuries past, the robbers having gone through the honeycomb tomb via that hole you see, and then pillaging the tomb. There you see the bones of Mr. Sung thrown up on top of the roof, and the roof of the sarcophagus had been broken. So that's how it was discovered, and then it was properly excavated. The other story we're telling throughout the show is the story of archaeology in China and how, you know, over the course of the 20th century, it's really progressed to such a degree that these tombs are all carefully excavated and properly documented and cared for.
Right, of course. Archaeologists aren't busting in the roof and throwing bones around.
Those are the tomb robbers. Okay. But now as we walk into the next gallery, you'll see this most amazing sarcophagus.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
Isn't that great? This is truly the extraordinary moment in the exhibition where, for the first time ever, this very unusual, unprecedented sarcophagus in the shape of a traditional Chinese house has been reconstructed since it was excavated from the tomb of Sung Xiaosu. So this is the little house we saw in the diagram that we've reconstructed. It weighs 18,000 pounds, more or less. It's a lot heavy.
Yeah.
It consisted of 110 pieces of stone that were all created for the tomb of Sung Xiaosu and his wife. Now, when I went to China a couple of years ago to look at this object, we went to the museum in Taiyuan, and the only thing they have on view is the front porch and the facade. They had never totally reconstructed it before. Amazingly, because I think our friends at Art Exhibitions China and all of our work of introducing the Clark to these cities in northern China emphasized to the Chinese our sincerity in the fact that Clark has this wonderful history of having gone to China, studied China, but not taken anything. They agreed to lend the entire house to us. Now, it had never been reconstructed before. So in fact, part of the deal was we had to send our chief preparator, Paul Dion, over to Taiyuan to work with their team to reconstruct this in their storeroom, just to make sure that they could do it and to make sure, you know, it all stayed together. So he went over, you know, 6 months ago, went through this whole process, and they said, yes, yes, it can be done. Then they took it all apart again, packed up every piece individually, and shipped it over here. And we spent a good 3 weeks reconstructing it. But you'll agree, I'm sure, that it was worth the effort.
It's amazing. I mean, it's so stunning to walk in and have this huge thing in the museum.
Yeah. I mean, we've never had anything like this. And it's never been shown intact before since it was discovered in the tomb. And you can see in some of the photographs and photo murals that we have in the display that it was in a very tight space, surrounded by Ming Qi, armies, terracotta armies of a small scale, you know, ox carts, all the sorts of things you would take with you to the afterlife. And we've included several of these objects from the same space in the exhibition here. So you get a sense of its original context.
That's incredible.
You can walk around it if you like. You can see these extraordinary carved relief masks and handles on the side of the sarcophagus, which looks like a small house, still retain quite a bit of their original polychromy on this red paint that you see there. Inside the tomb, which you can't see, but we did see when we were putting it together, there are the faint traces of wall paintings and drawings showing musicians playing instruments who are meant to entertain Mr. Sung and his wife in the afterlife. So you can walk all around it and get a sense of it, its architecture and how it fits together. The masons who helped us put this together were amazed at how all the pieces have been carved to fit beautifully together, even after, 1,500 years. That this dates from 477, I think I said that.
What a cool thing to have here. I know I've already said that, but it's really special.
This is worth the trip to Williamstown just to see this. It really is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now we can go across to the last tomb at the end of the show. Clark's expedition ended in Gansu province in western China, And the last tomb that we focus on comes from that region. Now, in this case, we don't know the personality who was buried there. But what's extraordinary about this tomb, which dates from the Tang Dynasty, and it was discovered in 2009, was that it was undisturbed, that it hadn't been robbed or looted by tomb robbers. So when they discovered the tomb, the objects were in their original location and in extremely good condition. So we've set up the figures you see here, the tomb guardians and the camel and groom, and these Zen Mushu sort of hybrid scary creatures, in the positions that they were discovered as you walked into the tomb. So you get a sense of the role they played in guarding the remains of the great personality. So as you walk in, you see these two incredible tomb guardians staring at you with their goggle eyes. And look at the condition.
It's outstanding. I mean, it's the most colorful thing we've seen so far.
Yes. Very active figures, you know, standing on animals and staring across at each other. They're meant to frighten you if you were to come into the tomb. And the condition of the paint is, and the glazes and the gilding even, is extraordinary, because this was an undisturbed tomb that had never been damaged. My favorite object, though, is this extraordinary camel, which looks like it could have been carved by an early 20th century sculptor. I mean, it's just so simple, yet perfectly elegant and beautiful. And the face of the camels is wonderful. If you get around to the front, you notice that the camel's humps sort of turn in two different directions, which gives the figure a dynamism and a kind of wonderful, jaunty character. And then his head, the camel's head, is turned just a little bit, giving him a kind of quizzical look as he strains against the reins held by the groom over here. And they're just wonderfully alive and believable, while at the same time, they're pared down. It's got the essence of a camel, and a sort of almost like platonic ideal of a camel. It's just wonderful. I love this.
I agree. I responded to the camel immediately. This exhibition is phenomenal. Thank you so much for taking the time to show me around.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you came.
Unearthed, recent archaeological discoveries from northern China will be on view at the Sterling and Francine Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, Massachusetts through October 21st. To learn more, visit clarkart.edu, clarkart.edu. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.